Praise God. Would you turn your Bibles, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Oh, praise God. God's on the move. Always on the move. In verse 11, 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 11. Is everybody there? Let's speak it together. O Corinthians, we have spoken openly to you. Our heart is wide open. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted by your own what? Affections. Those are what we call emotional attachments. Now in return for the same, I speak as to children, you also be open. Do not be unequally yoked together with what? Unbelievers. For what fellowship is righteousness with lawlessness, and what communion is light with darkness? And what accord is Christ with Belial, and what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement is the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them, I will walk among them, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Now that word therefore means if you do this. If you what? Come out from among them and be what? Separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. And this is very powerful because in this he's saying, listen, I want to be your father. I want you to be my children. Now, a father wants to give his children everything. Amen? Amen? Well, God wants to give us everything. But there are areas where we have open doors where the enemy comes in and steals, kills, and destroys. So in this, one of the things he's saying is come out from among them. Now, it doesn't mean that you're going to, you know, go pitch a tent somewhere and never be a part of society. That's not what he means. What he means in this arena is that we need to think differently. We need to speak differently. We need to live differently than what the way we used to when we were in the world. And, you know, we can't do that in our own strength. It's impossible. But there must be a desire. In other words, no man comes to the Father unless he's drawn. So in this, as God begins to draw us, in other words, you're not here by coincidence. You're here because God drew you here. Other than that, the enemy would have had you watching TV and eating popcorn. Hello. You'd have been doing all your lawn work and all the other things that you wanted to do to try and catch up on. But God brought you here. Amen. Or there may be other things you wanted to do. But in this, no man comes to the Father unless he's drawn. And there's a purpose for being drawn because he loves us. He's saying, I want all of you, not just a part of you. I want all of you. I want you to know me. And now by knowing him, he's saying, I want you to think like me. I want you to speak like me. I want you to live like me. Has everybody got this? This is so important. This is how we come out from among them. So by coming out from among them, there's something we must do. We must learn. That's why God says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Why? Because they haven't learned. They haven't learned the ways. They haven't learned the tactics of the enemy. They haven't learned the strategies of the Lord. They haven't learned how to battle. They haven't learned how to get in God's presence. Amen? They're still trying to fight the spiritual realm with physical things. And they're losing battles. So in this, we want victory. We want victory in every battle. We should come to a place where there's no option. You're willing to fight all the way through. So we need to come out from among them. In other words, it doesn't mean that, again, we're going to live in the woods and be separated from everybody. It means that we are going to abide. Three areas that we abide. We abide in his presence through worship. We abide in his word through prayer in the Bible. And we abide in fellowship three areas of abiding. Again, this is where the word says submit to God and resist the devil. You cannot resist the devil without submitting. Why? Because if you don't learn, you burn. You're going to get burned. Amen? The enemy's going to burn you, use you to burn somebody else, or you could eternally burn. Aren't you tired of getting burned by the devil? Aren't you tired of being tricked? Aren't you tired of allowing him to steal from you? Steal your children, steal your finances, steal everything? Listen, we are not fighting flesh and blood. We are fighting powers of darkness. And that must be such a reality to me and you that it's not the seen we're fighting, but it's the unseen. We should come to a place where we are looking through people, not at them. We look through them. We look through the circumstances. We look through everything to the unseen realm. We're not moved by the seen realm. The seen realm is just showing its fruits. The unseen realm is where the endorsements are coming from. Amen? And one of the things that the enemy's always trying to do is to get you in afflictions. He always tries to get you caught up. Caught up in afflictions. We talked about a teaching called Puddle of Affliction. And I want to talk a little bit more about that today. Because that puddle of affliction is evil afflictions. Now, there's afflictions that God allows us to go through, but in true reality, we allowed it. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 11. Praise God. Is everybody there? Verse 11. Let's speak it. This is a faithful saying. If we died with him, we shall also live with him. Now, he's not talking about when you give your last breath up. He's talking about your daily life. In other words, you are denying yourself. That means you are dead to you now. Now you are living the life of Christ. You're no longer living your life. So if we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we what? Endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. Remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord, not to strife about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness, and their message will spread like cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus are the sort who have strayed concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection is already past, and they overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God remains, having the seal. The Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. So there's that area where the cleansing, you are walking away from the old into the new. You are walking away from the old into the new. It says, verse 22, flee also youthful lusts, pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. In other words, it's time to change your associations. Amen. It's time to come out from among them and change your associations. Because what you associate is what you become. And a servant, but avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to what? Teach, patient, and humility, correcting those who are in opposition. If God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. You know, this is not about some kind of religiosity. Jesus never came to bring a religion. In fact, the word religion itself means bondage. Jesus came to bring a kingdom. He came to rescue his children because this is family. Religiosity doesn't have a sense of family. Does everybody understand that? This is family business. This is about a family. It's being restored to where we came from. Because when we've been here the whole time, we've been lied to. We've been deceived. We've been cloned by TV, music, amusements, and all the things of the world that tries to keep us from knowing the truth of Christ, that tries to prevent us from coming out from among the world. Even though we live in the world, that means we don't practice the same thing that the world does. The world approves of same-sex marriage. The world approves of a murdering a child in the mother's womb, the most sacred place and protected place that a child could have. The world approves of these things. The world approves of ungodliness. They call it good. See, the world calls what is good evil, but what is evil good. The world approves of lust. The world approves of the... You and I approved of those things at one time. And we were under the wrath of God. If we died in that condition, we'd have gone to hell. But by his mercy and grace, he rescued us so that we could know the truth, practice the truth, live in the truth, declare the truth, express the truth, and live a new life. See, everything is associated by wanting a new life. Wanting a new life. Not taking of the new and living in the old, but taking of the new to maintain new. Amen? So in this, you know, Jesus is coming soon. Everybody knows that there's something about to happen. There's something in every single one of us right now that's saying there's something more I'm supposed to do. That's because God is drawing man quickly. We're watching a change, a big shift's going on. Government is changing. There's getting ready to be a part of God's Spirit quickly. And in this presence, his glory will come and expose. Things are happening rapidly. Look how time is moving so quickly right now. You know, naturally we can watch the clock all day long, and it doesn't look like it's going to skip a beat. But I'm telling you, time is moving quicker than it ever has, and it's because it's fulfillment of prophecy. Time must move faster, and it is. We are going to come to a place where righteousness and evil are maxed. See, the world thinks that good people get to heaven. God says only those who eat of my tree of life get to heaven. They must produce the righteousness. Those are fruits of righteousness. That means that's Christ's character. Good people don't go to heaven. Righteous people do. There's going to be a lot of people who are going to be blown away when I stand before God and he says, I don't know you. But Lord, no. You practice lawlessness. I don't know you. See, this must become a reality to me and you. Reality is what's eternal. Everything here is temporary. These chairs are going to be gone one day that you're sitting on. Hopefully we'll be gone before they are. We'll all be on the ground. But in this, everything is going to go away. The world says that God is going to destroy the earth with fire one day. But also says that you and I will reign for 1,000 years. So in this, one of the things that the enemy is always trying to do is get you into a place to cause you to sow into flesh so he can access your life. Amen? So he can access your life. It says if we died with him, that means we must deny ourselves. It's not what I want to do anymore. It's what he wants to do. And if I have relationship with him, I love him. And if I love him, I trust him. You can't trust someone you don't love. Amen? Trust is love, isn't it? And isn't that a choice? There are people who are earning trust with one another. As they're earning trust with one another, love begins to escalate. It begins to build a relationship. We're to love our enemies. It doesn't mean I trust them. There's a different kind of love, isn't it? Loving my enemy in that is means I'm going to help feed them. I'm going to help them. My enemies are those who don't do the will of God. And they might not know that. See, the family of God, Jesus says something profound. He said, my brothers and sisters and family are those who do the will of God. Amen? So how are you going to know what the will of God is if you're not in fellowship? How are you going to know what the will of God is if you don't read the Bible? How are you going to know what the will of God is? And only those who do the will of God will enter the kingdom. But the enemy's got people so deceived, and his greatest weapon is deception, and his power is fear. He's got people deceived that if they're good, they're okay. Good's not okay in the eyes of God. He wants to see his character in me and you. That's what he's looking for. Amen? Go to go to Psalm 34. Psalm 34. Verse 4. Is everybody there? Psalm 34 and verse 4. It says, I sought the Lord and he what? He heard me. And he delivered me from what? All of my what? Fears. Why? Because fear brings a person into bondage and captivity. It blinds them. Fear. Why? Because pride protects fear, and that brings blindness. They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried out, and the Lord what? Heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who what? Fear him and what? And delivers him. This fear to God is not the same fear from the devil. The devil brings horrifying fear. Fear of the enemy grips you and puts you in captivity. But the fear of the Lord frees you. See, the devil's fear brings you in captivity, but the fear of the Lord frees you. Because the fear of the Lord is reverence, honor, and respect. So when he becomes real to you, you have fear of the Lord because he is real to you. So you reverence him, you honor him, and you respect him. You know that nothing is hidden from him. You know that he's always standing before you. Amen? This fear is a good fear. The fear of the Lord brings freedom. The fear of the devil brings bondage. Go to verse 19. It says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord what? Delivers him out of them all. He guards all of his bones, and not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, but those who hate the righteous will be condemned. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of those who trust in him shall be condemned. So in this, again, there's that place where you trust God. And because you trust him, you love him. And because you love him, you trust him. But he says, you know, you're going to go through afflictions. Everybody goes through afflictions, no matter what. But one of the things we don't want to have is self-imposed afflictions. Hello? We got enough problems than have to create our own garbage. Amen? You know, one day I got up in the morning and I felt ill. And all of a sudden the Holy Spirit said to me, you're going to be afflicted. I said, I'm going to be afflicted? So I must have did something that I must have touched something or whatever that got I was getting sick. And I had little sniffles and stuff, but I didn't think it was that bad. But he said, you're going to be afflicted. And I said, what do you want me to do? He said, nothing. I'm going to heal you. I said, okay. Well, it's about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, and I found myself crying in my bed. And I was in so much pain and agony. And I was in such pain that I couldn't get out of my bed. I rolled out of the bed, and I was crawling. And my wife got up and said, "What's going on?" And she took my temperature, and I had like 103 temperature. And I was ill. She helped me and brought me into another room, and I laid there, and my head was pounding. I was so sick. And so she went to morning prayer group, and they began to pray for me and pray for me. And she said, "If you're not well, I'm taking you to the hospital by the time I get home." And I said, "No, I'm not going to the hospital." So she came home. She took my temperature. I was still ill. And I kept having this vision of my brothers and sisters praying over me and me getting up. And when my wife came home and took my temperature was still the same. She brought some of my Christian brothers, and they began to pray for me. And so Kate said, "Well, let's go to the hospital." I said, "I'm not going to the hospital, but I'll go to a local clinic." So they dressed me and carried me to the car because I could not walk. And I kept remembering what the Lord said. He said, "I'm going to heal you." And I stood on what he told me. So we went to the doctor. They carried me in the room, put me in this one room. And by the time the doctor came in to put the thermometer in my mouth, instantaneously, before he opened the door, I got healed. He came in and put the thermometer in my mouth. There was nothing wrong with me. So we went out and had breakfast. See, but the Spirit will tell you things to come. In fact, we had home fries, garlic, eggs, and I wolfed. But this is something very important, and I'm going to tell you what's very important, that we are able to hear. See, when you hear, there's a change. If you're only listening, you miss. Too many people are only listening and not hearing. And because some people are listening, they fall into afflictions. And when you're in an affliction, you've got to hear to get out. Hello. Is everybody okay? Psalm 119. When you hear, there's something that happens. You receive. Everyone say, "When I hear, I receive, and I obey. When I listen, I only listen." Psalm 119. So only listening can bring us into afflictions, can it? Okay, Psalm 119, verse 65. It says, "You have dealt well with your servant, O Lord, according to your word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I believe your commandments." It says, before I was afflicted, I what? Before I was afflicted, I what? Went astray. Well, how did you go astray? Because you did not what? Hear. You only what? Listened. Please grab hold of this. That's why it's so important about hearing. Even in the book of Revelations, those who have an ear, let them hear. Didn't say listen. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. You are good and do good. Teach me your statutes. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep your precepts with my whole heart. Their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in your law. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I may learn your what? Statutes. The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of coins of gold and silver. So he realized that in his affliction, he was going to learn something. Okay, I went astray. I was only listening. I didn't hear. Now that I'm in this affliction, I need you to get me out. And he says, you're going to get me out through your word. Through your word. Through your word. So you're going to have to speak the word, aren't you? You're going to have to decree. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. Because I wasn't hearing. You know, the only thing they heard was the voice of affliction. Affliction has a voice. It's called the voice of the stranger. The voice of affliction puts you in the puddle of affliction. The voice of affliction puts you in the puddle of affliction. Hearing the voice of truth keeps you in freedom. Psalm 64. See, when we hear, we receive and we obey. When we listen, we have a form. We only have a form of hearing, but it's really not hearing. Psalm 64, in verse 1. It's a prayer from David. He said, hear my voice, O God, in my meditation. Preserve my life from what? Fear of the enemy. Why? Because the fear of the enemy brings you into captivity. Your enemy is the one that produces fear. Hide me from the secret plots of the wicked, from the rebellion of the workers of iniquity, who sharpen their tongue like a sword and bend their bows to shoot their arrows. Bitter words, that they may shoot in secret at the blameless. Suddenly they shoot at him and do not fear. They encourage themselves in the evil matter. They talk of lying snares secretly. They say, who will see them? They devise iniquities. We have perfected a shrewd scheme. Both the inward thought and the heart of a man are deep. See, what the enemy wants to do is attack you in your thoughts. He promotes and produces fear in your thoughts. And the Bible says, as a man thinks, so he is. It is called the voice of affliction, which puts you in the puddle of affliction. Verse 7. But God shall shoot at them with an arrow. Suddenly they shall be wounded. For God to shoot at them with an arrow, you must be in position. Has everybody got it? First of all, the thing that happened in verse 1, David humbled himself. He began to what? Pray. Hear my voice, O God, in my meditation. See, you must humble yourself and cry out to God. People think that just because he's God, he's going to do everything for you. No. What he does is he expects you to say, Lord, your word says, if you are a covenant child, you got to know covenant. The devil knows your covenant. And he wants to prevent you from you knowing covenant. Only those that are covenant keepers and proclaim covenant are in position. Is everybody okay? Cool. So the Lord's going to shoot the arrow at them. And verse 8 says, so he will make them stumble over their own tongue, and all who see them shall flee away. In fact, I saw this in court. They were stumbling over their own tongue. The attorneys for the administration that were trying to promote Obama health care, all of their attorneys were stumbling over their own tongue. The judges were actually rebuking them. They said, what are you, nuts? One of the judges said to one of the attorneys, do you expect us to read all 2,600 pages of this and pull out what's right and what's not right? It's pretty interesting. Hallelujah. In verse 9, it says, all men shall fear and shall declare the work of God, for they shall wisely consider his doing. The righteous shall be glad in the Lord and what? Trust in him, and all the upright in heart shall glory. Go to 1 Kings chapter 22. 1 Kings 22. Is everybody there? Okay, anybody there? 1 Kings 22 and verse 26. So the king of Israel said, take Micaiah and return him to Ammon, the governor of the city, to Joaz, the king's son, and say, thus says the king, put this fellow in prison, feed him with the what? Bread of affliction and water of affliction until I come in peace. Now, let me explain to you what the bread of affliction is. It's what you speak. This is the spiritual definition. Because what you speak is what you what? Eat. What you speak is what you eat. Amen? And what you drink is what you worship. That's called idol. Idols. People worship idols. Has everybody got it? So in this, what you eat is, what you speak is what you eat. Because what you sow is what you reap. So what you're speaking, you're actually eating. What you worship is what you call drinking. And people worship idols. And this is the bread of affliction and the water of affliction. Is everybody okay? Think about the things that you've said. Think about how many times you missed God by worshiping the idol. How many know you can be your own worst idol? Your children can be idols. Your spouses can be idols. You know, when you stand before God, it's only you and Him. Right now, there's a lot of Facebooking idols, cell phone idols, TV idols, movie star idols, all of these false heroes that the enemy portrays. And then our kids are trying to be like one of these heroes or athletic sports or whatever it may be. And there's nothing wrong with the area where a child has a false hero as long as it's explained who the true hero is. Has everybody got it? In other words, maybe there's somebody that your child wants to be a baseball player and he seeks out these professional baseball players and he learns what they're learning. But one thing you must always do is know the fruit of that person. Does that fruit produce righteousness? Or does that fruit promote lust and perversion? Does this so-called hero, what does it produce? What is it promoting? We should pull our children away from these that are promoting ungodliness. And there are those who promote godliness. There are those in football players and other sports figures that are promoting godliness. They give God the glory for their talents and everything that they do. That's who our children should be associated with, not those that promote perversity and greed. Amen? Genesis 41. Genesis 41. The puddle of affliction. You know, one day I was taken in a spirit and in a dream, and I think I might have shared this with you. And I was walking out of my driveway, and all of a sudden it was like there was a hole in the driveway, but I couldn't see it because it was kind of like camouflaged almost. I couldn't see the hole. And I stepped in the hole, and I started falling down in this hole. And I cried out to the Lord. I said, Lord, next thing I know, I started floating up. And as I started floating up, I was above the hole. And all of a sudden, the hole filled up with water. And it was almost like the water, because it was reflecting all around, had the same look as the driveway. And I realized it was the enemy's trap. And it was like the Lord, and I was floating over it, and I could sense the enemy trying to grab me. So I decided to torment him. So I began to wiggle my feet over the puddle of affliction. And I was floating over it, and he was getting all mad. So I floated over it, and I landed on the driveway again. And I thought this was great. So I decided to float one more time over the flood and began to torment the enemy. But the Lord said, I have you. See, he said, if you're in divine order with God, what you may miss, he protects you. Does everybody got it? Because he's faithful even when you're faithless. And I realized that, man, that was a puddle of affliction, because I could have been tormented in all kinds of ways. But he rescued me because I was in divine order. 41:51. Hallelujah. Let's go to 50. And to Joseph were born two sons before the years of famine came, whom Anastath, the daughter of Potiphar, priest of On, bore to him. Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh, for God has made me forget all my toil in all my father's house. And the name of the second he called Ephraim, for God has caused me to be what? Fruitful in the land of my what? Affliction. In other words, the earth is called the land of affliction. The ruler of the earth is Satan, and his kingdom rules this realm. It is behind all world system. It brings people into bondage by fear, controls them by finances. Hello? And his greatest weapon is deception, and his power is fear. But even though that we are in the land of affliction, we can still be fruitful because Christ is our source. Amen? Christ is our source in every area. Go to Psalm 25. Verse 12. Let's speak it. Who is the man that fears the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way he chooses. He himself shall dwell in prosperity, and his descendants shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with those who fear him, and he shall show them his covenant. My eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. Turn yourself to me and have mercy on me, for I am desolate and afflicted. The troubles of my heart have enlarged. Bring me out of my distresses. Look upon my affliction and my pain, and forgive all of my what? Sins. Why? Because sins will also bring afflictions. It's the presence of evil. Consider my enemies, for they are many, and they hate me with cruel hatred. Do you know that the devil hates you? They hate you. Keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in you. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait for you. Redeem Israel, God, out of all of their troubles. 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. The fear of the Lord brings freedom. The fear of the enemy brings captivity. You know, they have all these weird flicks on TV. You know, they have horror flicks that try to promote fear to kids and so forth. And then they have these Ghostbusters or whatever they are. These people that go into homes and try and remove evil spirits. Why they're shaking in their boots. And they can't remove evil spirits because psychics can't do anything but bring evil spirits. And it's amazing that they have all these programs. Man, and I want to put my hand in the TV and slap them silly. Man, use the name of Jesus. See, but they don't know that. They do all these little rituals and little seances, and they think the demons left. No, they just brought in the rest of their family and settled. It's hilarious, but it really, I just want to, like, come on. Somebody needs to tell these people the truth. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Is everybody there? Praise God. Hallelujah. I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own itchy ears, or their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. In other words, they're going to go where people are speaking what they believe, what they want to hear. Now, let me share something with you. It produces a flawed belief system. Where there is a flawed belief system, there's flawed perception. They cannot perceive correctly. And that's what the enemy wants to do. Look at when you and I were in the world, we had a flawed belief system, right? So we saw things differently compared to those who had a correct belief system. We thought they were weird when we were the ones that were weird. Now I'm a good weird. I'm a righteous weird. Praise God. I'm peculiar. Hallelujah. Verse 4. And you will turn your ears away from the what? From the truth and be turned aside to fables. And there's a lot of fables going out right now. A lot of deception. People, the Bible tells us that in the latter days, many will walk or turn from the faith. In other words, they'll still believe that Jesus is Lord, but they're not going to do his will. But you be watchful in all things. Endure what? Afflictions. Endure them. Go through them. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. So in this, we're going to need some endurance, aren't we? Amen? We're going to need the endurance. Again, sometimes the afflictions allow us to be tested by God. Every affliction is a test from the Lord. It doesn't mean that God brought you in the affliction. It means you did. But he's willing to get you out. He's the God who rescues. He's the God of love. He's the God who delivers. He's the God who heals. Go to James 1. So we are in need of endurance to get through. In other words, this endurance says, okay, I'm going to use the weapons of God, not my own. I'm going to first run to the throne and not the phone. I'm going to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. In James chapter 1 and verse 2. You know, you are what you've inherited. And by breaking off the inheritance from the world, we receive the inheritance from the throne. Amen? So until we break this inheritance off that we have received from the world, our children will walk in the same way we did. It's a spiritual inheritance. The world produces a spiritual, corruptible inheritance. God produces a righteous inheritance. We are covenant with the things of God. Amen? We're covenant children. In James chapter 1 and verse 2, it says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience or endurance. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking what? Nothing. Nothing according to your spiritual fight. If any of you lacks wisdom, hello. So what does he tell you you need? Wisdom. Not wisdom of the world, wisdom from God. Wisdom tells you what to do. Not according to the worldly way, but according to the way of the Spirit. Worldly way says, call a doctor. Wisdom way says, go to the one who created the doctor. That's God's way. Now, I'm not telling you not to go to a doctor. Are you listening? Hallelujah. But what I'm sharing with you is seek the kingdom of God first and his righteousness, and then all things will be added. So then God will give you direction by the wisdom he gives you. Amen? It says verse 6, or verse 5, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives it to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. In other words, this is not wisdom of the world. This is wisdom from the throne room of God. It is called the spirit of wisdom. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is double-minded and unstable in all of his ways. Wow. Go to 1 Samuel 17. 1 Samuel 17. And we're almost done. 40 more scriptures will be cool. No, I'm only kidding. 1 Samuel 17. The puddle of affliction is evil affliction. 1 Samuel 17 and verse 31. Now David was a shepherd out in the field. God anointed him. And Israel was being tormented by the Philistines. And Goliath, the giant, was challenging anyone that if they could kill him. They were mocking the Israelites and their God. And David didn't like it. He went to go bring some food to his brothers, and he heard what the Philistines were saying. And in verse 31, now when the words which David spoke were heard, they reported them to Saul, and he sent for him. King Saul was the king at the time. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, you're not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are a youth, and he is a man of war from his youth. But David said to Saul, your servant used to keep his father's sheep. And when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck him and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck and killed it. Now I want you to understand that these are some of David's afflictions. All the previous afflictions of David prepared him for this perfect moment. Verse 36. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defiled the armies of the living God. Verse 37. Moreover, David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go, and the Lord be with you. So Saul clothed David with his armor, and he put a bronze helmet on his head and also clothed him with a coat of mail. David fastened his sword to his side armor and tried to walk, for he had not tested them. And David said to Saul, I cannot walk with these, for I have not tested them. So David took them off. In other words, you can't wear somebody else's afflictions. Hello. Somebody else's afflictions is not going to rescue you. Only yours will. Things that you have learned. Amen? And verse 40. Then he took his staff in his hand, and he chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook, and put them in the shepherd's bag and in a pouch which he had, and his sling was in his hand. And he drew near to the Philistine. So the Philistine came and began drawing near to David, and the man who bore the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy, and good-looking. So the Philistine said to David, am I a dog? David should have said yes, because the word dog means demonized person. That you should come to me with a sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. Then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword, a spear, and with a javelin. I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled." In other words, David didn't come with physical weapons. He came with a spiritual weapon. And he decreed it instantly. So everybody see this. "This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistine to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel." David did not fear, did he? Because he broke fear through his afflictions, his love for the Lord, his trust in the Lord. "Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with the sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." So it was when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David that David hurried and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. No, in other words, he didn't run the opposite way. He ran towards the Philistine. Then David put his hand in his bag and took out a stone, and he slung it and struck the Philistine in his forehead, so that the stone sank into his forehead, and he fell on his face to the earth. Now, the stone didn't kill him. The stone brought him down. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, and struck the Philistine and killed him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood over the Philistine, took his sword and drew it out of its sheath, and killed him, and cut off his head with it. And when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. Now the men of Israel and Judah arose, shouted, and pursued the Philistines as far as the entrance of the valley and the gates of Ekron. And the wounded of the Philistines fell along the road of Sharam, even as far as Gath and Ekron. Now this is powerful, because David used his previous afflictions that he suffered to overcome the one at hand. Amen? The stone that struck Goliath was the word of truth. It brought him down. The sword that took his head was the anointing of God. Because without the anointing, you and I are nothing. Has everybody got it? It was the sword that took his head. Amen? Now I want to close at 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. And verse 6. "So count it all joy and learn." Amen? Learn. Use the word. Abide. Use the sword. In verse 6 it says, "Therefore humble yourselves under the what? Mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in" when? "Due time. Casting all your cares upon him, for he" what? "Cares for you." How many know that cares will bring you into affliction? See, the enemy wants you to be involved in all kinds of things. That doesn't mean that we don't go through things. It doesn't mean that we don't have cares. It means that there are cares that are burdensome that we're not to carry. If you are in relationship with the Lord. It says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may" what? "Devour." What's he trying to do? Get you in the affliction, the puddle of affliction, to devour you. It says, "Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen," and what? "Settle you." Settle you. Settle you to you're no longer movable, by afflictions, by circumstances, by fears. Remember, the enemy uses fear to move you. Fear. His power is fear. God has not given you a spirit of fear, but power, love, and sound mind. The puddle of affliction is produced by fear. Hello. Why? Because people are not hearing. And if they're not hearing, they're not receiving, and they're not obeying. They're only listening. That means everything that the Lord speaks, we are to put into practice. Amen. Why? Because you, listen, you want to overcome. Now, God is not looking at us as bad and good people. Does everybody understand that? He already sees us as being completed. He sees us already as being completed. His whole focus is getting us there. Amen? He already sees us completed, perfected, established. But he's getting us there. Jesus even had to learn through his sufferings. Amen? So count it all joy. Learn from it. Put it into practice, the things you've learned. Abide, abide, and abide. And then abide. You cannot do it on your own. You must be in fellowship. You must be associated with the eternal family, not the temporary one. Amen? You must learn the truth. Because if you don't know the truth, you'll be easily deceived. There is a war going on. And we want to be victorious in every battle. Because every time there's victory in a battle, you take more land. Amen? You take more land, spiritual land, where you're able to rescue more souls. Has anybody ever seen Schindler's List? If you've never watched it, I encourage you to watch it. It's amazing. You know, many of our kids don't even know about Hitler anymore. They don't teach it in schools anymore. They don't talk about the Holocaust and the murders. Unfortunately, that murdering is still going on. And the murdering in Germany was approved by the government. 11 million people were murdered, and nobody did anything about it. Nobody. Because the government approved it, they approved it. Well, the government's still approving murder. The most sacred place of a woman is in her womb where a child is protected. Abortion is murder. And we should not vote for anyone that promotes murder in the womb of a mother. Amen? Praise God. We've had enough afflictions. And you know, when you promote those, you approve of those, you are judged the same way they are before God. Because those who approve of the same thing will be judged the same way. Amen. Those are demonic forces using people to kill mankind. The war is not man against man. The war is the demonic forces against man. The unseen war that continues. That's why it's our responsibility to make what is unseen to become seen. Your thoughts are not your own. You are being influenced. And what you believe is what you'll perceive. If you believe the truth, you'll see. If you believe the lie, you'll be blind. Amen? The choice is ours. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. Let this seed be imparted to bring freedom. I pray that the fear of the Lord will be imparted in each and every one to bring freedom from the deceptions and the lies and the powers of darkness that promote fear and bondage. Lord, visit us in a mighty way. Bring revival to this country. Bring revival to the hearts of your people. And rescue those who've been taken captive in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah.